After all, as I told myself on more than one occasion, lesser evils are better than greater ones. And I could always lead another rebellion against the new people in power if necessary. There was never any shortage of courageous, idealistic young cannon fodder in those days. Never any shortage of loot, either. I took what I had to in order to do what I had to. And if sometimes I had to deal with scum or place my trust in men of evil, well, there was already too much blood on my hands for me to ever be innocent again. He smiled at Owen. You're looking quite shocked, Deathstalker. Sorry. I seem to be just one disappointment after another for you. But that's life. My life, anyway. And now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll take a little walk. Limber up the old muscles before we have to go dirtside. Play nicely now. He left the kitchen without looking back. He'd said all he felt like saying. No doubt they'd talk about him while he was gone, but they'd have done that anyway, and he preferred not to be around when they did it. He made himself be patient until he was well out of their way, and then he stopped and produced a battered silver flask from an inner pocket. He unscrewed the cap with steady fingers, raised the flask to his mouth, and took a good swallow of the bland, almost tasteless liquid. He might not be able to handle booze anymore, but he'd be no use at all without an occasional jolt of the good stuff. He looked at the silver flask and sighed quietly. There was a time he'd thought battle drugs were just for cowards and fools, but time had taught him differently. Sometimes it seemed the only courage he had left came out of that flask. And he did so want to be a legend again, if only for his new friend's sake. They'd been through so much already, and faced so much more. They needed a legend. Jack Random sighed, raised the flask to his mouth, and then lowered it again, without drinking. He screwed the cap back on, and put the flask back in his pocket. He strode on down the quiet corridor, his footsteps echoing back from the stone walls. His legs felt firmer, and he was breathing more easily. Give him some time, and a few more jolts of the right stuff, and he might be some good in a fight after all. He found Tobias Moon in a side room, sitting alone, looking at the frozen planet below on a view screen. The Hayden man's face was as cold and emotionless as ever, and he sat stiffly in his chair, as though only waiting there because he'd been told to wait, when all he wanted was to be going. Random hesitated in the doorway, uncertain whether it was wise or necessary to disturb Moon. And then the Hayden man spoke suddenly, without turning around.
Come in, Jack Random. It's been a long time since we talked together before a battle.
Random swore silently and did his best to seem relaxed and confident as he entered the room and pulled up a chair beside Moon. Although the Hayden man claimed to have fought at his side during the Cold Rock campaign, Random couldn't honestly say he remembered the man. Cold Rock had been a hard and bloody struggle, with a lot of good men killed. But even so, he should have remembered a Hayden man. They'd been extremely scarce on the ground after their failed rebellion, mainly because most people shot them on sight just in case. But Random had to admit his memory wasn't what it was, like so many other things in his life. The Imperial Mind Techs had really done a job on him. He wriggled surreptitiously on the hard chair, trying to get comfortable, and wondered what the hell he was going to talk about. The Hayden man spoke first.
I have no memory of being here in the city or laboratories of Lost Hayden. I was quickened off-world, on a ship between planets, between battles. The rebellion was going badly, and my superiors needed all the units they could muster. I fought in many battles, on many worlds, following the orders of my superiors. I killed men, and women, and children. After the rebellion, most of my people were dead, or fled back to Hayden, to their tomb. And I was abandoned to my own devices. I had no idea where Hayden was. For a time, I continued fighting. It was what I knew. I fought on many sides, on many planets, but all the causes looked the same to me, and I grew bored. I traveled for a few years, searching for new challenges, but already my energy crystals were becoming depleted, and the technology necessary to recharge or replace them could only be found in Imperial strongholds, where my kind would find no welcome. Eventually, I ended up on Mistworld, little better than any human. Can you understand what that meant? To be merely human. I had been capable of so much. I was strong and fast, and my senses saw so much more of the universe than your simple organics. But every day I grew weaker and saw less, and my thoughts were no longer quicksilver fast. For a long time, I existed only to exist. I had no plans, no hope, no future. And then word came of the outlawed Deathstalker, and I remembered the intrigues of his family, and dared to hope again. He led me to you, and then brought me home to Lost Haven, and the tomb of my people. I have a chance to be complete again, among my own kind. I owe him everything. But once my people are awakened, I must follow the orders of my superiors once again. Whatever they might be.
Random frowned. You think they might refuse to join the Deathstalker's rebellion against the Empire? Surely they'll see that it has to be in their best interests to join with us.
You don't understand. You and your fellow rebels are all human, and for a long time, that was just another word for enemy. It is a central creed of Haden Man thought that we were created to replace you. You are weak, soft, inferior. But I have lived among you, and I have seen strengths and potential that my young race as yet lacks. They would say you have infected me with your weaknesses. Perhaps they are right. I truly do not know whether I am a Haden Man, a human, or something else, less or more than both. I have waited so long to be a part of my people again, to be a fully functioning augmented man, but now I am not sure where I truly belong. I'm not sure of anything anymore.
You're bound to be nervous. It's only human.
But I am not supposed to be human. I shouldn't even be thinking these thoughts. I am a Haden Man, the next evolutionary step forward in our species. That's what my people will say when they walk out from their tomb. I have finally returned home to Lost Haden, only to find it does not feel like home at all.
The Haden Man rose abruptly to his feet and left the room, moving silently and gracefully with his usual inhumanly perfect poise. Random didn't go after him. He doubted he could have kept up with Moon, and even if he had, he didn't know what he would have said. What do you say to a man mourning the loss of his own inhumanity? So, Random sat back in his uncomfortable chair and studied the viewscreen, wondering if he should tell the others what he'd heard. He heard footsteps approaching and turned quickly in his chair in case it was Moon coming back. But the man in the doorway was the original Deathstalker, the man called Giles. He looked tired, and perhaps just a little lost. He gestured for Random to stay seated, and sank into the chair beside him. He looked at the world on the viewscreen, and sniffed once.
Ugly planet. Didn't look much better when it was alive from orbit. Maybe that made it easier to destroy it. I never thought to see it again. When I landed the last standing on Chandrakor, I was expecting to die. Everyone's hand was turned against me. Some for using the Dark Void device, some because I was determined it would never be used again. No one was more surprised than I when the dust finally settled and I found I'd killed all the people sent to kill me. Part of me had wanted to die. So I went into stasis in the hope that things would work themselves out before I had to waken again. I should have known better. Things are more complicated now than they were before. 3 different kinds of augmented men, rogue AIs, and an insane empress on the Iron Throne. And not one, but 2 possible alien threats. And my descendant, the Deathstalker of his time, is a historian.
He's a good man. He fights well when he has to. And he has a good head on his shoulders. He cares about people. And mostly for the right reasons. You could have done a lot worse.
I hear much the same about you. They tell me you're a famous warrior and a great leader of the rebellion.
Maybe once. I'm not sure anymore. I spent most of my life fighting on one world after another, giving up all hope of love or family or a normal life, just to lead a struggle whose end was always just over the next horizon. I saw good men die over and over again, many better men than me. And all for nothing. The Empire's as strong now as it ever was. And I'm just an old man with nowhere safe to lay his head.
It's not whether we win or lose. It's how many of the bastards we can take with us. Anyone can look away and pretend they don't see evil as long as it doesn't affect them. But a man of honor has no choice but to stand up and do something. Whatever happens, you and I have lived the life we chose. Too many people live the lives other people think they ought to, following orders they don't agree with, for causes they don't believe in. They live lives that don't matter, that touch no one and change nothing. For better or worse, you and I stared evil in the eye and didn't flinch. We raised our swords and went to war. And even if we didn't win, we kicked some ass along the way. We made a difference. And that's all any man can ask.
Yes. We got a lot of people killed who followed us expecting miracles. Aren't you ever bothered by ghosts, Giles?
Of course. Some of them are waiting for me on the planet below. But I make my decisions based on the future, not the past. Ghosts have to know their place.
It must be wonderful to be so strong, so sure, to have all the answers. If you have a moment, pity us poor mortals with our doubts and failings. He got up and left, brushing past Owen in the doorway, without speaking to him. Owen turned to watch him stalk away down the corridor, and then looked at Giles. What's got into him?
He's just feeling his age. Preparing for battle will do that to you. It's a time to open your heart to strangers and hope for absolution. Is that what you've come to me for, kinsman?
No. I was just passing and heard voices.
So, how are you feeling? Ready for the fray?
I suppose so. It's not like I have any choice in the matter, is it? Ever since this all began, I've been harried from planet to planet, with the bad guys never more than a few minutes behind me. No time to think, let alone rest. And no matter which way I turn, all I hear is duty. Fight for this cause, fight for that. Fight just for the right to stay alive. What choices have I had recently?
There are always choices, kinsman. You can choose to fight or to run, to be strong or weak. To take joy in fighting the good fight and never bowing to a villain. You come from a family of warriors who never surrendered to greater odds or struck for a peace they didn't believe in. We have a tradition of facing and rising above whatever obstacles fate places in our path, and meeting our enemies with cold steel in our hands and a smile on our lips. We have always been heroes, warriors, men of destiny.
Save the pep speech for someone who believes in it. I've been hearing that shit all my life. It didn't save my father when the Empire sent a master swordsman after him, and it won't save us when Lionstone's forces arrive here. We are 6 people facing the might of the Empire. Our chances suck. Our only hope for survival lies in waking a race of semi-human beings who might or might not wipe us out on sight, and hope we can convince them to fight alongside us. That's assuming they don't decide to wipe out all of humanity like they tried to the last time. We are outnumbered, outgunned, and out of luck. I'm a historian. I've seen what happens to rebellions without massive funding, big armies, and a solid power base. We don't stand a chance, Giles. The odds are we're going to die, and died bloody. Giles smiled easily.
If we're going to die anyway, we might as well die well. Die fighting and take as many of the bastards with you as you can. If that's all that's left to you, go down still swinging your sword. Make them pay for their victory.
Oh, very romantic. My father would have loved you. He believed in all that crap, too. But he still ended up dying alone on the main concourse, with his guts scattered over the street, while people walking by gave him plenty of room so they wouldn't get blood on their shoes. It's all right for you to talk like that. You were warrior prime. You led armies. I never wanted to be a warrior. All I ever wanted was to be left alone to read my books and work on my histories. Instead, I've been forced to fight and kill people I don't even know, just so I can lead a rebellion I'm not even sure I believe in. Even if by some miracle we did win, what use would Jack Random's empire have for an ex-aristocrat like me? I represent everything he and his kind want to be rid of. They'd probably end up putting me on trial for exploitation of the masses. And all your romantic talk of taking your enemies down with you, what did that lead to last time? Using the Dark Void device. How many billions of innocents died because of that? You know how you're remembered in my history books? As the greatest mass murderer of all time.
That's right. I placed my trust in the Iron Throne, and it betrayed me. You have to understand how tempting the device was then. A way to stop a systems-wide rebellion at one stroke. I wasn't even sure it would work. It was only afterward, when the first reports began to come in, that I realized the true horror of what I'd done. In order to justify myself, I plunged into research, examining the reasons behind the rebellion, and found to my astonishment that they had been right all along. The Empire was cruel and corrupt, both in choice and in nature. The system itself was evil. So I took the device and ran, gave up every honor I had or hoped to achieve to ensure that the horror of the Dark Void would never be repeated. We do not fight here for pleasure or profit, historian, but because we must, if evil is not to prevail.
You see, we're back to choice again, and I don't have any. I can't back out, go back to being who and what I was, a naive innocent who never questioned where his comforts came from. I've seen too much, things I turned my head away from before. I have no excuse. I was a historian. I knew the suffering and injustice the Empire was built on. I just told myself it was nothing to do with me. My father lived for his intrigues against the Iron Throne, so much so that he never seemed to have any time for me. So I never had any time for his intrigues. I made my own life as a quiet, uncontroversial scholar. I should have known it wouldn't last. And once I had my face shoved into the bloody underside of the Empire, I couldn't look away anymore. Too many innocents are being hurt every day as a matter of course. So I'll be the warrior my family wanted me to be. I'll be a rebel and fight for the cause, and if need be, die for it. But don't you ever think I'm doing this of my own will.
Of course you are. You said it yourself. You couldn't look away once you saw how things really are. Everyone here thinks they're fighting for their own reasons. But in the end we'll fight and maybe die because we can't look away. We won't let ourselves. It's as good a reason to fight as any, and better than most. I've listened when the others talked of you. You're not interested in being a fighter or a hero or a leader of men. You just want to do the right thing. And that's the only kind of warrior that's worth a damn. If I had to have a historian as my descendant, I'm happy enough it's you. I could have done a lot worse. Now, let's go round up the others. We'll be teleporting down to the Madness Maze soon. There are things I need to discuss with all of you first. The situation down below is rather complicated.
Now there's a surprise.
Come, kinsman. It is a good day. for someone else to die.
The rebels all ended up together again in front of the main view screen on what passed for a bridge on the last standing. It was a large open area with no visible control panels and absolutely nowhere to sit down. Not for the first time, Owen felt more than a little superfluous. Giles lectured them in his dry, sardonic way, and all listened with varying amounts of politeness. Even so, none of them seemed in any hurry for the briefing to be over.
The castle's sensors show extensive workings deep below the surface of the planet.
A map appeared on the viewscreen before them. It was intimidatingly detailed. Just looking at it made Owen's head ache.
Most of the workings weren't here the last time I made planetfall. They formed the city built by the Hayden men. It's situated beyond the Madness Maze, and since the transfer portal I left behind is located on the opposite edge of the maze, we have no option but to pass through the maze to reach the city. Unfortunately.
And what does that mean, exactly? You've never actually explained what the Madness Maze is. Giles pursed his lips thoughtfully.
It's an enigmatic structure built by the Wolflings, not long before they were all wiped out. Well, all but one. He guards the maze. Sometimes I think he does it not to keep people out, but to make sure the maze doesn't escape. And whatever he knows about the maze, he has always kept to himself. I have never passed through it myself, but its function is no secret. The maze affects the mind and body, shaping them in new, different ways. I believe it was originally intended to raise the Wolflings to the next step up on the evolutionary scale. Fortunately, and I use the word advisedly, they never got a chance to use it. I'm not sure humanity could have survived what the Wolflings might have become.
Hold everything. If the Hayden men built their city beyond the maze, does that mean they've all been through it?
I believe not. The original scientists excavated down through the frozen planet to a position of their own choosing, a set of huge, natural caverns. They collapsed the tunnel after them at the end, to cover their traces and prevent anyone from following them. And at the end, I think they saw the maze as just another defense for when they were sleeping in their tomb. I feel that I should point out that there are bound to be other defenses protecting the city. Theoretically, my presence should be enough to disarm them.
But you're not sure.
No, I have never been here before.
This just gets better all the time. If the maze doesn't get us, the city might. And that's not counting whatever the Empire finally sends after us.
If rebellion was simple, everyone would be doing it.
They passed through the transfer portal one after the other, bristling with weapons, and found themselves on a shimmering silver plain. It stretched away around them in a vast circle, surrounded on all sides by darkness. The only structure was a tall metal door, some 12 feet tall and 6 feet wide, standing apparently unsupported in the exact center of the circle. The metal was a dark bronze in color, gleaming dully in the shimmering light from the floor. It was carved in rows of deeply etched markings from an unfamiliar language. Owen moved forward to examine the markings, and the others let him do it. Owen shot them a scornful look as they hung back and stood as close to the door as he could without actually touching it. The etched figures teased his eyes with hints of meaning, but remained stubbornly enigmatic. He heard a faint hum emanating from the door, a low, throbbing sound that seemed almost to echo in his bones. There was a feeling of imminence in the air, of something about to happen. Owen shifted his holster on his hip so that his disruptor hung a little more readily to his hand and brought his face right up to the markings. A dim, shadowy reflection scowled back at him with cold eyes.
Can you translate any of those scratchings?
Show a little respect. Owen didn't look away from the door. I've seen similar symbols on some extremely obscure records from 9 centuries ago, but I think this is some kind of variant or dialect. It's got absolutely nothing at all in common with standard imperial characters. I doubt there are a dozen scholars in the Empire apart from me who would even recognize it.
All right, Aristo, we're impressed. But can you read it? What does it say?
Essentially, go away. Do not pass through this door. Something extremely nasty will happen to you. Only it's not a threat. I think it's a warning. You're being very quiet, Giles. Anything you'd like to volunteer about this door?
Well, I can tell you one interesting thing about it. It wasn't here the last time I was here. None of this was. It was just an ordinary cavern, hacked out of the solid rock by the wolflings.
I'll tell you something else interesting. That door doesn't have a reflection in the floor. Owen looked down automatically. He could see his own reflection in the silver floor, and those of his companions, but there was no trace at all of the door. The hairs on the back of his neck prickled.
So, what do we do now, Ancestor? What's supposed to be here?
There should be the entrance to Wolfling territory and the way to the Madness Maze. You needn't worry too much about the Wolflings. They're all dead now, of course, except for the one who waits. He should still be around here somewhere.
After 900 years? You mean he's in stasis here, like you were?
Oh, no. He's immortal, you see. They all were, theoretically. That was at least part of the problem. The scientists had come up with a way to live forever, but you had to be a wolfling for it to work. And the wolflings, whatever else they might have been, were very definitely not human. At least, not as we understand the term. Their minds worked differently. No, he should still be here. The last of his kind. Waiting.
Who for?
You're welcome to ask him when you meet him. Personally, I could never get an answer out of him that made sense.
Thanks a whole bunch. That clarifies everything. Oz, can you hear me?
Yes, Owen. I'm watching everything through your implants. Unfortunately, the castle's sensors are unable to penetrate beyond where you are now. Something is definitely blocking them. I can see the outlines of the artificial territories, but not what's in them. Except to say that for some of my readings to make sense, there'd have to be one hell of a power source somewhere close at hand. There's some really strange energies down where you are, Owen. Wish I could be more helpful, but for the time being, I can only see what you see, which personally makes me very glad I'm not there.
Any recommendations?
Go through the door and see what happens.
Thanks a lot, Oz. Owen studied the door carefully, and then looked back at the others. Unknown metal, maybe 6 inches thick. A disruptor should make a useful-sized hole in it. Or we could let Hazel try out one of those monster guns she's carrying. She's been dying for a chance to let rip with one. Or we could keep it simple and use explosives. What do you think, Giles?
I think we should keep it civilized and try knocking first. We can't get to the Madness Maze without passing through Wolfling territory. And I really don't think that smashing down his front door is the best way to make a good first impression.